Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning in today. You know, the message that you're about to hear, I pray not only just inspires you, but it encourages you to follow Jesus even more. In fact, I bet there are some people in your life right now who you're thinking of that you know would benefit from such a timely message. Man, share it with them. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, I encourage you, hit that subscribe button. Stay tapped into all that God is doing here at CF. And lastly, I want to take this time right now to really thank those of you who support us. We wouldn't have any ministry outside of these four walls if it weren't for you, our friends, who come alongside us in prayer and support us financially. Listen, there are thousands who are benefited by this ministry because of your generosity, and we want to simply say thank you. To continue, or maybe to even start supporting our mission to help others and their families follow Jesus, you can very simply go to our website and visit cfmiami.org/give. Church family, I hope you're blessed by this. Enjoy the sermon.
And folks, no better way to start a Sunday morning than to sing of the goodness of God. Come on, let's praise God at all campuses. Come on. Man, it's wonderful to be able to gather together as a church family, right? Across all campuses to worship our God. Hey, but welcome everybody. My name is Zomar, and I have the honor and the privilege of serving as a lead pastor here at Christ Fellowship. And if it's your first time here today, joining us at one of our campuses, maybe perhaps online, listen, we are thrilled that you decided to study God's Word with us today. In fact, today we're starting a brand new series entitled Your Father's Heart, and is a study in the book of Deuteronomy, specifically Deuteronomy chapter 6 through 11. We've been going through the entire Old Testament here at Christ Fellowship for the last almost 2.5 years. We're in the book of Deuteronomy now. And I have to admit, these few chapters in God's Word are my favorite chapters in all of God's Word. You know, I'm always encouraged, and I love reading all of it, but man, these passages are just, you can just sense the warmth of our God. And so, man, I'm ready and excited to dive into God's Word and start this series. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And wherever you find yourself, you can follow along with me as I read, okay? Listen to what God's Word says. Now, this is a commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over. And be careful to do them, that it may go what?
Well.
What is it? Yeah, well with you. In other words, in the final moments of Moses' life, he wanted to be sure to remind the people of God of certain truths about their God. Amen? That is God's Word. You can go and take a seat, everybody, at all campuses. And church, let me start off by sharing this with you. You know, many of you know that one of the main reasons that I am the man that I am today is because I had a God-fearing, faithful mom that always raised me in the ways of the Lord. In fact, when I was growing up, you know, she always used to take me to church and always led me in the ways of God. And forever, I will be grateful for my mom. But I've also shared with you that I also had almost like a second mom, my grandmother, who helped my mom raise me. And also, she had a huge part in helping me the man that I am today. And throughout her life, she also did everything possible, just like my mom, to help me walk in the ways of God. Now, folks, follow me here for just a moment. Because as she got older, we knew that her time here on earth was coming to an end. And so I remember that every time that I would go visit her, at her home, I would go several times a week. I always went and I made her a little cup of coffee. She always wanted a cup of coffee. And so I would sit down with her in the couch, and we would just talk and catch up. And during that time, there were moments where she took the time to really give me words of advice and encouraged me in the Lord. And one day I figured, you know what? These moments are coming to an end at some point. So what I did one day is I took my phone out, and I opened the recording app, which we all have, and I pressed record, and I began to record one of those moments. In fact, I've shared with you this recording before, but I think it's so applicable, all right, to today's teaching, especially as we start the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, take a listen to one of those moments.
Yo te aconsejaría que nunca pierdan a fe en Dios. Siempre firme con el Señor, que Él te proveerá todo. Poco o mucho te lo va a proveer. Pero si tú pierdes la fe en el Señor, se te desvanece todo. Eso es todo lo que yo te podría decir.
Sí. Ya.
Que nunca pierdas tu fe.
Gracias. ¿Y qué más?
Bueno, con la fe se hace todo. Que te busques una buena mujer, una persona responsable, cuando te vayas a casar. Que no porque sea bonita y este y lo otro, te cases con cualquier cosa. Porque el matrimonio es una cosa bien difícil de llevar. Si uno no está con la persona idónea. ¿Tú entiendes?
Claro.
Eso es todo, amigo. ¿Qué te voy a decir? A ti llegará. Tarde o temprano va a llegar. Así es que con calma. Que tú eres un hombre joven todavía. No tienes que tener prisa por casarte. Que sigas siendo la persona que tú eres. Ajá. Que la sigas siendo así. Un hombre capaz de todo. Educado, que quiera su familia. Tú lo tienes todo, papi. Las cualidades que puede tener una persona buena. Eso es todo.
Gracias, abuela.
Y la fe en Jesucristo.
Eso es lo más importante.
Seguro. Porque Él te lo va a proveer todo. Poco a poco, pero te lo provee. Sin prisa.
En esta vida y la próxima, ¿no?
En las dos vidas, papi. Porque uno no sabe cuándo se va a ir.
Claro.
And you know, shortly, you know, a few years later after that recording, she eventually did go to be with the Lord. But folks, do not miss it, because what she was doing in those moments is that she was preparing me for a life without her. In fact, she wanted to give me as much wisdom and remind me of certain truth before she went to be with the Lord. You see, she had been with me for almost 40 years already. And so she wanted to be sure that as she would go to be with the Lord, and I would continue my journey without her, that I would remember the certain truth that she wanted me to keep deep in my heart. And folks, let me just bring that over to our teaching for today, because family, what an example of what Moses does in the book of Deuteronomy for the people of God. And by that I mean that just like my grandmother, right, being with me up to almost 40 years, wanted to be sure, right, that I would remember certain truth about my Heavenly Father, just like that. And here's the main idea for today as we open up God's Word. You know, as we read the book of Deuteronomy, Moses' time here on earth is coming to an end. You see, he had been with the people of God for almost 40 years in the wilderness. And so God had already made it clear to him that he would not go into the promised land with the people of God. He took him this far. He was going to go to be with the Lord. But before he would go up to be with God, he wanted to be sure to remind the people of God about certain truths of their Heavenly Father. And folks, in this series, right, we're going to be learning six important lessons. Six important things that Moses thought was critical for us to be in our journey with the Lord. And so, in fact, the first week, today, we're going to be covering the most important one, the most important truth about our journey with the Lord. And who knows, maybe right now you're here and you're thinking, Omar, listen, I want to know what these truths are and what is the most important thing that we need to know as we continue our journey with God. Well, folks, we're going to find out today from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, all right? So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And today I have two important thoughts about the most important thing in your relationship with the Lord. Christ Fellowship, are you ready to dive into God's Word, huh? Yeah, at all campuses, all right. So write this down as point number one. Here we go. Here's the first thing and the most important thing. And that is this, to love God. To love God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. Now, folks, listen to what God's Word says in Deuteronomy 6. It says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. And be careful to do them that it may go well with you. And folks, here's the first thing that Moses tells them and us. He says this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Here it is. You shall what, church?
Love.
You shall love the Lord your God. Amen. Now stop right there and slip into the scene. Because like I said earlier, the people of God had been with Moses for about 40 years, and they've been wandering in the wilderness. And now God had made it clear to them that it was time to enter into the promised land. And folks, where they were located at this juncture in the journey is in the plains of Moab. In fact, I have a map that I just want to show you so you have a good visual of it. So for example, the people of God left Egypt, right? And they've been wandering for 40 years. And now they've settled, they've gone to the border of the Jordan River, and they're settled in the plains of Moab. Now, right across the plain of Moab, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, you'll see it says there it's the city of Jericho, which, by the way, next series, right, we're going to be learning in the book of Joshua how the people of God actually entered into the promised land and conquered the promised land. And the first city was Jericho, and so we're going to learn that in a few weeks. But right now, they're still on the other side of the Jordan River, and they're located in the plains of Moab, and it is here where Moses begins to tell the people of God these truths. And folks, the first thing that he declares to the people of God is this, that you shall love the Lord your God. Now, if you have your Bibles open or your handout, circle the word love. The word love there in the Hebrew is the word ahav, and it's what you would expect. It's what it is in English. It's love and affection. But this is important because this is the first time, don't miss this, this is the first time in Scripture where God commands, where God calls his people to love him. You see, throughout the entire Scriptures already, throughout history, we see that God was showing the patriarchs and showing the people of God his love for them. In fact, in Exodus 15, it says this. It says, you have led your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. But folks, after spending 40 years experiencing the love of God and everything that comes with the love of God, listen, now there's a first moment in Scripture where God now commands and tells his people to love him. And folks, this is a monumental shift in their mindset. Because up to this point, they were under the impression that all they had to do to be right with God, right, is just to do the laws and commands that God had given the people. And so in their minds, in other words, that the heart really didn't matter. That as long as you did the physical traditions, the rituals, all these different things, that they will be right with God. And folks, listen carefully. There are so many people in this world today that still have the same mentality. That the only thing that matters to God and in, you know, their relation to God is they did this, you know, this little infant ritual or this tradition, and, you know, they do the God thing here and there, and they come to church and they sit down and, you know, they do the spiritual things and the actions. But really, that's all that matters at the end of the day when it comes to, you know, Christianity. It's just some actions. And who knows, maybe that's where you're at right now. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you started coming to church just recently. Maybe you've been sitting here for 10 years. And you're sitting right now in these seats. And for you, you know, Christianity or, you know, relationship with God is just doing certain spiritual things. But really, there's not much really behind all those actions and all that activity. It's kind of just kind of dead inside. But folks, what Moses is trying to help us understand is that the most important part of your relationship with God is whether or not you love Him. And listen carefully, this love for God is a love that should consume every part of you. In fact, listen to what he says next. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your what?
Heart.
Your heart. And folks, that's not referring to your physical heart. But you see, in the Hebrew, that the word there for heart, it refers to the seat of all of your emotions. This, where your mind, where you have all of your thoughts and your minds. And, you know, in other words, you know, God is telling us, listen, you need to love God. You need to love Him with all of your thoughts, with all of your emotions, with everything in your mind. Listen, you ought to love God with every part of your mind. And folks, it's not only about your thoughts, but also, listen to what it says next. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, right, with your mind, with all of your what, church? With your soul. Now the soul here is kind of hard to describe, but it's really the most inner part of who you are. It's really at the core of your being. In fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, when you see that God is creating man, it says that he breathed into the lungs of man, and Adam became a living soul. And so there's something about human beings, right, that we have a soul. And it's really the innermost part of who you are. It's kind of hard to describe, but deep down in who you are, that God is calling you, listen, to not only love Him with the deepest part of who you are, but also with your thoughts and with your affections and with your emotions. And third, one more thing he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, right, with all of your soul, and with all of your what?
Might.
Now, folks, circle the word might there in your Bibles for just a moment. Because the word there for might in the original Hebrew is the word nefesh. And it's actually not just a regular word. It's actually in an adverb. And the adverb is the word for very in the English, like very good or very long or very strong, right? It's that word for very. It's an adverb, right? And so if you were to literally translate like the literal meaning of that word, it almost describes it as love God with your veriness. Now, when that word is translated into the Greek, the word they use is power. And when it's translated into the Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus spoke, it's actually translated into the word for wealth. And folks, I think both of these words are actually pointing to what the essence of what Moses is trying to communicate here. Because God does not only want us to love Him with our physical bodies, but everything at our disposal. In other words, it's not just to love God with your might, the might of your body, but really everything that your body has, your physical body has access to, which means like your home, your car, your money, your cell phone, your clothes, whatever your physical body has at its disposal, what Moses is envisioning here is that for everything we have, that we ought to love God with all of that. Amen?
Amen.
You see what I think what we need to understand is that what God's trying to show us is that just like God, right, loves us, loves you with every part of who He is, right? He loves you with every part of who He is. Now, in response, we now love Him with every part of who we are. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
And folks, here's the thing. This type of, and really, you need to come to a point when you're in your own life, really, where you start asking yourself, do I love God with that type of love?
Wow, that's good.
Right now, are you loving God with the deepest part of who you are? With all of your thoughts, with all of your emotions, and with everything that you physically have disposal to? And folks, here's the thing. When you start loving God that way, and you start loving God with every part of who you are, here is what it does. Write this down as letter A. That love for God reveals true faith. You see, when you read God's word, affection for God, love for God, is actually a defining characteristic of true faith, of true saving faith, to the point that oftentimes God's word, get this, God's word uses faith and love for God interchangeably, oftentimes in the very same verse. In fact, let me just give you two examples. For example, Jesus said in John 16, he said, "For the Father himself loves you because you have what?
Loved me
and have what?
Believe.
Notice, believe that I came from God. Loved and believed. And then in 1 John it says, everyone who what?
Believes
that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who what?
Loves the Father.
Whoever has been born of him. And so what I want to help you understand is that true saving faith is not just, it's not just faith that acknowledges that God exists. It's not just faith that says, you know, yeah, I believe that Jesus, a man named Jesus lived and he went to a cross and he died. It's not just acknowledgement of that, but rather it's a faith that not only depends on God, relies on God, but listen carefully, loves God. There is affection for God in that faith. And folks, listen, if that's true, then the opposite is true as well. In fact, listen to what God's word says in 1 Corinthians 16. It says this. It says, if anyone has no what?
Love.
No love for the Lord, let him be accursed. So you can see that love for God, love for the Lord, is an important part, critical part of your relationship with him. You see, the truth is that there's so many people in this world that believe, right, that Jesus, like I said, lived, died on a cross. They believe, you know, they acknowledge that, but is their acknowledgement enough to save them? The answer is no. In fact, the book of James says this. It says, even the demons what?
Believe.
And they shudder. Listen, the demons believe that Jesus exists. They know he exists, right? And so what's the difference between a demon's faith, acknowledgement of God, that friend or co-workers or neighbors or whoever it is in your life, that they, yeah, I acknowledge that God exists, right? And the true saving faith of a child of God. It's so simple, right? It's faith that has love and affection for the Lord. And folks, even in my life, love for God is really a defining mark of when I truly came to know Christ as Savior. You know, many of you know that my mom put me in a small little Baptist school, private little school here in Hialeah and in Miami. And so it was there, not a church, but in a little Christian private school that I came to know Christ as Savior. This is why we love CFA so much, amen, Christ Fellowship Academy. And so I came to know Christ, right, in a chapel on a Friday afternoon when I was in elementary school. From that moment on, I believed in the Lord and all. And when I got older, you know, towards my high school years and even maybe my early college, you know, I strayed a little bit. But, you know, I came back in my early 20s and I began to grow in the Lord like never before. And so one time I asked myself, Omar, did you come to know Christ when you were a little kid in elementary school? Or did you come to know Christ when you were in your early 20s? And what I came to realize is that I actually came to know Christ when I was a child, because ever since I was a little boy, I truly had a love for God. In fact, As I was growing up, the reason I didn't stray too far from the Lord, the reason I didn't do a lot of different things, right, is because my love for God did not allow me to do that, right? And so for me in my life, I could pinpoint the day that I began to follow the Lord because I realized that I began not only trusting Christ as Savior, but there was this love for God. And so listen, you need to understand that love for God is an important aspect of your faith in God. Amen?
Amen.
And folks, not only does it reveal true faith, right, but also, write this down, letter B, love for God leads to true obedience.
Amen.
In fact, listen to what Moses says in the next verse. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You see, folks, the reason that Moses begins by talking about loving God is because he knows if the people of God love God, then they're naturally going to obey the Lord and all his commands. In fact, this is why the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said this. He says, if anyone what?
Loves me.
If anyone loves me, then he will what?
Keep my word.
And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You see, what Jesus is saying this is very simple. When you love God, you're going to want to serve God and obey him. When you love God, you're going to want to live a life that honors God. When you love God, you're going to want to live a life of integrity. When you love God, you want to honor God in your marriage and in with your children. When you love God, you're going to want to obey the Lord at your workplace. When you love God, you're going to want to honor him with your money and in your giving. When you love God, you're going to want to live a life, right, that pleases your heavenly Father. Why? Because our love for God, right, leads us to obedience. And then, but listen to the very next verse in John 14, 24, he says this. The opposite is true as well, because Jesus says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And so listen, if you are not living a life of obedience, right? And listen, we can never perfectly obey, right? But if there's something in you that you're not striving for obedience, you don't really care about obeying God, there's nothing in you that wants to honor God, then what Jesus is saying is that the reason you don't do this is because you don't love me. Oh my, you can't say that about me. Listen, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying that. See, listen again, we're not going to be able to perfectly obey the Lord. But listen, when there's something in you, right, that you love God, right, that you want to honor, listen, you're naturally going to live a life, even though not perfectly, but you're going to want to try to honor him in every area of your life. Can I get an amen to that? And listen, when you love God, here's what God's word says. Listen, God's word says that his commands, when you love God, his commands to us are no longer burdensome. In fact, listen to this powerful verse in 1 John chapter 5. It says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And I love this. And his commandments are not what?
Burdensome.
You see, because when you love God and you know that all of his commands and all of his guidance and all of his thoughts for you are for your good, are to protect you, are not to steal your joy, but to give you joy. When you understand, right, that everything that God calls us to do ultimately is for our good, and it's because our Heavenly Father loves us. Here's the thing. The commands of God are no longer burdensome to us, right? Why? Because, man, when you love God, you're going to want to honor your Heavenly Father. You're going to want to live a life that honors him. And listen, get this. The more that you love God, the more that you obey in your life.
Amen.
The more that you really have affection for God, it's going to naturally lead you to want to obey the Lord more and more in your life. Now, You may be sitting here thinking, but Omar, how? How can you grow in your love for God? Because it almost sounds so ethereal. Grow in your love for God. How do you do so? Well, here's the answer to that. Write this down as big number two. Listen, you grow in your love for God as you grow in your knowledge of God. This is why God's word tells us in 2 Peter 3, it says, grow in the grace and in the what, church?
Knowledge.
In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, you cannot grow in your love for God unless you grow in your knowledge of God. Now, in a few moments, I'm gonna give us some practical next steps of how you can grow in your knowledge of God. But before I do that, I want to take a little side road, all right? Because I want to address something that's important for us to know, especially as we think about the love of God. And it's this. And that is that the love of God is ultimately a gift and a work of God in your life. In fact, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, listen to what Moses tells the people. He says this. He says, and the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. In other words, he is going to do a work in your heart. He's going to cut away all the things of this world. He's going to lead you to him. And notice, then it says, so that you will what?
Love.
So that you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and that you may live. In other words, God was going to do a work in their heart. And then later on in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, speaking of the new covenant that we're going to have, listen to that God would bring to his people. It says this, it says, and I will give you, notice, God himself will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You see, folks, what I want to help you understand is that our love for God was initiated by God himself. Listen, if you today, if you're sitting here, you're watching online, and there's something in you that you love God, that you have affection for God, that is because God has had grace on your life and favor on your life. You see, at one point in your life, listen, you were walking without the Lord. You didn't want nothing to do with God. You didn't love God. You didn't care about the things of God. You thought everything about the God's word and church, all that's foolishness. But there was a day in your life where God intervened. And he opened up your eyes to see the truth and the beauty of Christ. And at that moment, you recognize you were a sinner and that he is the Savior of the world. And you put your faith in Christ. And at that moment, listen, a brand new love for God began to be birthed in your heart. You see, folks, this is why Ephesians 2 says this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God.
Yes.
And folks, which means that when you look at other people in your life, that coworker, that neighbor, that family member, that person in your life, and they don't love God, you should not have pride in your heart towards them. It's so easy for us to think, wow, oh, I love God so much, and look at them, they don't love God. But listen, when you understand that everything that we have from the Lord is ultimately by grace. Listen, you should not look at other people with pride, but you should look at them with humility and ask God, God, work in their heart so they can love you and know you. Amen?
Amen.
And so listen, when you think of that, of your own life, then thank God. Thank you, Lord, for having grace in my life. Thank you for intervening. Thank you for giving me eyes to see. And thank you for leading me to a place where I can love you. Amen? And folks, here's the thing. Once, right, that God has showed grace to you and you begin a relationship with the Lord and you love God, now we are to grow in our love for God. And here's how you do it. Write this down as letter A. We grow in your knowledge of him through reading his word. You see, folks, listen, part of us knowing God comes here when you come and you listen to a message, right? And you come here and listen, one of my objectives when I stand on this stage is that by the end of the teaching, you love God more. I want to help you understand God more so that you can love Him more. Amen? But folks, here's the thing. This is only 40 minutes. And if you rely only on 40 minutes of your week to know God, listen, your knowledge of God will still be very basic. And so there has to be a moment that you need to understand that the only way that you will grow in your love for God is if you grow in the knowledge of God. And the only way to do that is by reading His Word. And listen, the more you read His Word throughout the week, you carve out that time to spend the time in the Word, you read God's Word. Listen, the more you get to know His power, the more you get to know His sovereignty, the more you get to know His grace, the more you get to know His wisdom, the more you get to know His mercy, the more you get to know His justice, the more you get to know His holiness, and the more that you start understanding who God truly is, listen, your soul will begin to grow in your love for the Lord. Can I get an amen to that? And folks, we know this practically. You know, I started thinking of my relationship with Ashley, you know. I think back in the time when we started dating at the outset. In fact, I think I have a picture. Yeah, that's one of our earliest pictures when we were dating. Now, folks, I know what you're thinking. You have aged, Omar. Yes, I have, you know. That bald spot keeps growing, you know. The wrinkles get bigger. I get it. She looks great, right? She looks better now than she did before. But, man, I have aged, right? I know what you're thinking, but get this. We met, right, at a festival in Miami Springs where we were doing an outreach for the church. And I remember we were doing balloon animals. I was doing balloon animals for little kids and just kind of ministering to them that way. And I met her there, and she liked giraffes, so I made a giraffe for her, right? And folks, we both agreed that was like that moment in time, right, where something happened where I grew this love for her, and she had this love for me, right? That was like the initial moment that we both know something happened in that moment that birthed a love for each other. But here's the thing. If I would have walked away from that day, right, and never spoken to her ever again, never saw her, never got to know her, guess what? That initial feelings, all those would have just kind of just faded away, right? It would just, nothing would have happened. It would just fizzled away. But guess what? That day, I managed to get her number, right? Got her number. We began to talk. We began to text. Then we started talking on the phone more and more. You know how it is, at the 3-4 in the morning. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Are you still there? I'm hanging up, right? All that. And guess what? Through all that, through all, me getting to know her, right, getting to know her more, my love for her began to grow more and more. And even after we got married and we, all these years, right, our love for each other, we're getting to know each other more, right, the good and the bad. But, you know, we're growing and we're maturing in our love for each other because we're knowing each other more and more and more. And folks, same thing is with God. Listen, the way you grow in your knowledge of God, the way you mature in your love for God, it's not by just coming to a service sporadically and listen to someone teach you for 40 minutes. No, it's when you open up God's Word throughout the week and you just read it. You just read it. That is why whenever we do an invitation here, and right when somebody comes to the front or somebody comes to know, you know, comes to know Christ, the first thing that I get put in their hand is what? I'm going to put in their hand God's Word. Why? Because that initial work of God, that love that's starting to be birthed for God, right? At that moment, I want to put God's Word in their hand so they can start reading God's Word, knowing God more, and their love for God is going to grow, and therefore their obedience to God is going to grow. Can I get an amen to that, right? And so listen, you grow in your knowledge of God by reading His Word. You cannot manufacture love. You need to get to know God. And here's the second way. Write this down, letter B. You grow in your knowledge of Him through small groups. Amen. You know, the reality is that your growth, your knowledge of God can only come to a point by just reading God's Word by yourself at home. It'll get you to a point. You will learn more about God. But you see, there's something that happens when you are, which by the way, our small groups, if you're brand new, our small groups are our midweek Bible studies where we come together as a people of God in smaller groups, and we have fun with each other. You know, we talk, you know, we pray for each other, we go on mission. But really, the point of us gathering together in smaller groups throughout the week is to study God's Word. And here's what I want you to understand. Something happens when the people of God, when you gather yourself with other believers, right, to study God's Word and just to get to know, there's something that happens. The Spirit of God does something in those moments where we now, by encouraging each other, by pointing things out, by talking, the Spirit of God uses that community to help us grow in our knowledge of God and therefore helps us grow in our love for God. You see, just like you should leave every time you come here to church, right? You should leave loving God more, right? Because you know God more. The same way, when you get in a small group with other believers, God does something in your heart in the midst of gospel community that he then helps you grow more and more in your walk with the Lord. In fact, earlier on, I shared with you that when I was in my early 20s, I had a huge growth spurt in my walk with the Lord. Remember that? You know what it was? It's because I got into a men's small group. And the moment I surrounded myself, I got rid of my old friends, and I started surrounding myself with other guys who were not perfect, but man, they were pursuing Christ. Something happens in those contexts, in those environments, where you begin to grow with the Lord like never before. And so if you're sitting here at one of our campuses and you just started coming to Christ Fellowship and you're thinking, Omar, man, I'm brand new here. What is the first thing that you want me to do here at Christ Fellowship? It's very simple. It's get into a small group. Get yourself into gospel community with other believers where you can then learn, you can encourage. I'm telling you, it's the coolest thing when you get together for an hour and a half every week to study with your group of girls, group of guys, with couples, whoever it is. There's something that happens when you come together. And in fact, earlier this year, in January, we started a brand new study called Rooted. And it was a study that really goes over the seven key rhythms of the Christian faith and helps you grow more and more in your knowledge of God. And I got to tell you, out of all the studies that we've done here at Christ Fellowship, for some reason, this is the one that people have been really raving about because of the impact that they've had in their life. In fact, if you were here in Easter weekend, last weekend, you saw a beautiful moment in worship where people were showing what this study did in their life. In fact, just so that you can see the impact of the study, take a look at this story from Rooted.
I was raised in a Christian home. I went to church every weekend, on Sunday, Wednesdays. Got married, raised my children in the church.
I've been a believer for better part of 36 years. I was led to the Lord by my wife, then girlfriend at the time, when I was 15 years old.
One thing that I prayed for so long was that my husband would be more the spiritual leader, because for so many years I felt like I was the spiritual leader. And so I prayed, you know, and God tells us never to stop praying, right? To just keep on praying. And for years, you know, he'd come to church and his walk with the Lord was there. For sure, you know, he never walked away from God, but he just wasn't that spiritual leader of the household. Until we joined Rooted, and his walk has just gotten so much deeper, so much closer to the Lord. And that, to me, is just an answer to prayer.
It really started, I want to say it was probably the week before Rooted was even announced, with a song that the worship team sang. That was, song was called Second Chances, and I break down whenever I start talking about it, but it was one of those things that, you know, it's where God just planted the seed for me that, for me, had a lot to do with my testimony from 15 years on. Even though I had lived that, I really didn't know, you know, at what point God was in my life. I didn't really know my testimony. When we joined Rooted the following week, it was in a way a kind of my nudge to really go back and really think about my testimony and really see where God has played a part, even though I was just coasting along.
Rooted brings you back to like your foundations. all the way back to like creation and servanthood. And those are the things that, although you know, being able to dig a little bit deeper and dive into the word and really seeing and understanding what it says about those things just made it that much stronger for me.
The way it's presented, the way it just grabs you. I mean, it roots you in. I mean, you know, no pun intended, but you kind of get hooked on it and you just want to keep reading.
I think it was a little bit of the community aspect of it, you know, just getting to be around other believers, just having that time of fellowship, you know, just sharing, being able to see that, you know what, there's so many things in common, so many things that we go through, mm-hmm. but also content, you know, really, like I said earlier, just digging deeper and diving into it and knowing the way God communicates with us, you know, what his expectations are with serving in our churches, you know, all those things that even though those are things that, you know, right? Just puts things into perspective a little bit more. There's still so much that we have to learn. There's still so much in the word that, you know, even when we reread it, you're like, wow, how did I miss that, you know? If there's any doubt in your mind whether or not to do the study, do it.
If you're on the fence about doing Rooted, just, I mean, get off and get planted, man. That's all I can say.
Amen. And so listen, you know, my heart's desire for us is that we will love God more. That we will grow in our knowledge of God, that we will live a life of obedience, that we will live a life that honors the Lord. And listen, the only way that I can do that, that you can do that, is if we grow in our knowledge of God. Folks, that's why we believe so much in small groups, being in gospel community. And Rooted is such a powerful study for you to really grow in your walk with the Lord. And so here's what I'm going to do. This Rooted study, many of us have done it. Maybe you haven't done it yet, or maybe you're brand new. You're just like, you know, man, I would love to check that out. It's so simple. There's a small cost to this book. It's just because you keep this book, and it's a book that you go through every, you know, throughout the week. You write, you journal. This is yours, and it has really great information. So the only cost is just the actual book. But, man, we have so many different small groups, whether men's small groups, women's small groups, couple small groups, general adult small groups. We have young adults, students. We have all these different groups. And we've worked hard to create these places so that you can find a community of other believers where you can grow in your knowledge of God. And so I wanna just kind of help you take that next step. If you feel like you want to do Rooted, here's what we're going to do. In fact, I'm going to ask everyone in our church to do this because I don't want those people who are signing up to feel like they're the only ones, right? And so here's what I want us to do. Go ahead and take out your phones at all campuses. Go ahead and take out your phones. We all have them. I know it. You know it, and I know them. We have your phones. So go ahead and take your phones out, okay? And then open up the camera app. And I'm going to do this so that everyone can see. And so go ahead and just scan behind me. Yes, go ahead and scan behind me the Rooted, and we can put it on the screen. Yeah, the Rooted QR code. You can just kind of, with your phone, when you aim at it, you'll see a little link that pops up, and you can click on that. That's the actual main webpage of Rooted. If it doesn't work for you, no big deal. Go to our website, cfmiami.org. It's a top banner. You can click on there for all the information. But here's what you do. So there, you can sign up for a group. You can purchase a book, and you can get all the information. And so I want to give you a chance right now. So if you want to find out more information about Rooted, this is your time to get more information. By doing this, you're not officially signing up, but you're saying, hey, I'm interested, give me more information so I could take that step. So I'm going to give a few moments now. If you feel led to by God to do so, sign up for a Rooted group, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to worship, right? So take the time now. I'm going to give some time to sign up at all campuses. And as you're filling out that form and you're getting all the information, by the way, at all of our campuses, When you walk out, there is a rooted table that you can stop by. If you have more questions, you can stop by. We're going to have them family nights. We're going to have them all throughout the week so we can help you find a group that fits you best, okay? So go ahead and keep signing up. I'm going to pray for us now, and then we're going to worship, and we'll be dismissed, all right? Let me pray for us, and then we will worship. In fact, go ahead and stand up at all campuses with me. Go ahead and stand up with me. And Father, we today, as we learn about your love for us, Lord, help us, Lord, your people, to love you more. Help us, Lord, to take steps in our walk with you, Father, to honor you more. And Father, as we reflect of the goodness, of all the goodness you've given to us, Father, then let us then grow in our love and affection for you so that we can be the people that you're calling us to be. God, we love you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. And all God's people say, amen.